This is Larry Nemechek, and if you're not listening to Trekmate, well, you're not listening to Trekmate.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Trekmate podcast. Its continuing mission, to entertain, enlighten, educate, and talk all things Trek. To boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
So. Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this.
All right. Ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses. I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Trekmate. My name is Jude Hawkins.
And my name's Wayne Emery. Hello, dude. We haven't recorded this frequently in ages.
Hello, mate. Yes, I can't even remember what we did last, but...
Basically, we bitched about Discovery.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And you tried to avoid it for the majority of the show. That was last episode.
Yeah, I noticed you'd post it out on the internet today on social media and obviously the normal site and whatnot. But I did feel awkward about that at the time, before and afterwards. But at the same time, I just think, fuck it. Like, on that episode, I actually said how to listeners... Don't feel bad about it. If you're like me, if you're like us, don't feel bad about it. You shouldn't. Be happy to be you. It's okay to love most of Star Trek, but not like something new what they're doing, to actually call it out and say, I don't like this. I'm happy to stand up and say it. Or if you're me, happy to stand up and say it and say, I ain't fucking watching this anymore. Even if I am doing a weekly or... fortnightly Star Trek podcast, which I love being part of, like, what is the point of doing this? Who am I doing it for? We don't get paid for this shit. We do it for the love of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if CBS and whoever they employ can't be bothered to put on a good show and put in the effort for us long, I mean, we're not even that long time fans. We're
if you count to 40
years old.
Yeah, but if you count percentage of your life,
it's how I think of us.
Yeah, no, that's true. But if you go for like percentage of your lifetime, if you went for like a life average, it's like I've been a Star Trek fan for probably what would be about 75 to 80% of my life.
Yeah, roughly the same for me, 70 to 75, I guess. I must have started like, what time did it start on BBC Two? 91,
around
92?
There, around
Next
there.
Generation, I mean.
Yeah, because I probably would have been considered my fan,
yeah,
myself
so
a fan from probably about 9 or 10 years old.
Mm.
So if you like average out like 20, I'm 36 now. So if you average out 27 years out of 36 years, that's a fairly substantial amount of time.
Oh, it is, yeah.
But, yeah, no, I tell you what I've found strange, though, because I'm not talking about, like, our listeners, because our listeners are of a similar ilk to ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
They...
As I saw you post somewhere, like, after this long, after 200 episodes, like, you have to be.
Yeah, exactly. You can't stick with us for that long and, like... absolutely hate everything about us. There must be something that
if you... there is, that's quite funny actually. Like the idea of that,
like
just someone
you,
who listens
something.
Every week, like, I fucking hate these guys.
Sadomasochistic,
yeah.
Podcast listener,
you never know.
But yeah, no, so I'm not talking about our listeners, because it's like when Darren gave us some lovely feedback today, He said himself that he agrees with certain points, but he does really like Discovery, and it's fair enough.
I say it every week, but I love Darren. I love his comments. And reading his comment today on our last episode, I'm not going to read it out loud or anything. He knows what he wrote. But that's what I like to hear. That's what I like to read as far as Trekmate listeners is concerned, where he's taken in everything we said. And no matter how much we shit on something, he doesn't seem like he's ever going to attack us. He gets it. He gets where we're coming from. But we love Star Trek as a franchise, as a whole. But we only say the things we say about Discovery recently, which is only very recently that we've taken the turn that we have, you know, just being honest with ourselves. He gets it, unlike other people on that exact same post or where you've posted it in different forums. And I've got to say, I'm grateful you haven't posted it in more forums.
I only put it on the Sci-Fi Collective and the Trekmate Communicator.
Yeah, fucking hell. If you'd put it on like Star Trek World Forum or whatever they're called, we're on some of the same ones and we don't even bother with them anymore. Mm-hmm. But if you'd put it on there, like, oh my god, the amount of, we only got a few comments from people, but I was texting you back and forth today saying just, I can't even remember what I said. Oh no, I was just saying, these people don't have a sense of humor, like full stop. No. These people, it's like, just chill out. What, just because you say anything bad, it's like,
the thing is though, those guys, okay, I'll address those guys and then I'll address Trek fans in general, but those guys were pretty much, they obviously weren't even ever going to listen to the podcast. But it's a question
I was almost tempted to say to those people, if you actually fucking listen to this podcast and someone's not like turning you onto this podcast and saying, oh, they mentioned you, I'll give you a fucking £100. If you actually if you posted that shite that you post, but yeah, you still just listen to them.
Just
you
respond.
Don't, I know you don't.
Just respond to the post on Facebook for this podcast saying, I'm that cockwomble.
Yeah, yeah, go for it. Yeah,
and then you've won your prize.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's no, and those guys were just like, you can't tell us what to hate. You're saying like you don't speak for us. It's like, no, you haven't even fucking read the description properly. It said we hate Star Trek, not we all should hate Star Trek.
I know that. Sensible people know that. People with a sense of humor know that. But God, these people, like, I just want to say, just lighten up, chill out.
But they, that's the thing.
We're not like CBS. We're not like Star Trek official or something on Facebook. Like,
no.
I don't know how these people find it. Well, I do, I guess. You know, like you say, some people just insist on following everything. They love a franchise like Star Trek so much, they insist on following everything, whether they like it or not. But bad luck to them. If
the funny thing is, though, it's like I do sometimes when I wander onto Facebook every so often.
It's very rare for me. When I go on now, it's very little that I tune in for or I'll actually click onto.
Yeah,
there's just certain things where it tells me, like Darren, for example, like, yeah. If it says Darren has commented on your post, I'm just like, okay, that's worth a read.
Yeah, that's when honestly when I get notifications about stuff like that, that's when I'll click on it to have a look. And then sometimes I get like sucks down the hole of just having a look at a few posts. And when you look at posts for Discovery from like the official Star Trek page,
I wouldn't even do it anymore. I just stay clear.
I don't comment at all because I think, no, I cannot be bothered to get into an argument, and it's only going to be an argument.
Opening yourself up for being attacked, aren't you?
Yeah, and the thing is, you see,
you know, people like that Facebook meme of like the person sitting at the table, like, Discovery is shit. Change my mind. That meme for everyone. Well, yeah. It's not specifically that, but you know, it can be whatever. Change my mind.
Yeah, my favourite one of that is Peter Venkman sitting there with Walter Peck. What's the fucking exact quote? Walter Peck has no dick. Change my mind.
Yeah, no, that's good.
But yeah, no. Yeah, exactly. And I just... on those posts, you have posts that are only 100% positive about Discovery. And then where people reply, you've got the people who just flat out say, this is dog shit. Mm-hmm. And then they get attacked. But then you also get the people that reply and say, I really didn't like this part, and I didn't like this part. And they articulate it in a way that is just discussing what they may have had issue with. Some even state stuff that they like as well. But under that, then they just get attacked and bombarded. And it seems,
sucks. Yeah.
And it's always the same. It's weird. It's really, really fucking weird.
This is what I want to get into in the future on this podcast, is the middle ground, which is where we are. Like, I know I'm saying stuff like it sucks and stuff, but it's not that clear cut. Like,
no.
Obviously, I want to like it. I've had so much verbal support for it on this podcast saying, let's be positive. Let's look for the positives. But it's only very recently where I've gone like, oh, this is too much.
Yeah.
I'm not watching it. But we mentioned Darren.
Mm-hmm.
Darren is the perfect example on the Trekmate communicator or whatever we call it, where he's listened to everything we've had to say and he said he understands what we're saying. But he's just like, you're right about certain things, but he still enjoyed it. And for Darren and people like Darren in that case, that's great. I've said it on the pod. That's great. If you do genuinely enjoy it, that's cool.
Yeah, exactly. And no, I can't even pretend to be happy for you. But
I am. Like, if other people like it, that's great.
Yeah.
I don't. But I'm not going to hide it. And I do look forward to conversations in the future with those people on the pod or outside the pod, you know, to ask why.
Yeah.
You know, what are you enjoying? Other than like laughing at it. Because, okay, we were talking briefly before we started recording, but I'm just going to say it now. Maybe we could do it at the end of this pod or pods in general. Mm-hmm. Every week, Wayne texts me and he tells me what's happening on Discovery. And I can only presume he's doing that, not because he wants to share, but because he's so fed up and bored with what he's watching. And
I was angry.
Thinks he may as well. Yeah, and angry. May as well share it with me. And the texts that I send back are genuine. I'm not taking the piss. I'm just like laughing at it and going, seriously? Are you joking? Is that really happening? Or are you just making it up? Stuff like that. So
maybe I don't know if it should become a weekly thing. Where
instead of you texting me, write it down somewhere as notes and just tell me when you come on here, because I ain't watching it.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not watching until I think there's a genuinely good reason to now.
I've been tempted to share screenshots of mine and Dominic's conversations on WhatsApp.
Oh, yeah. I'd be happy to watch that too, definitely.
Because I've just, honestly, some of the conversations are just quite hysterical.
I enjoy our back and forths between you and me without even watching it. It just makes me laugh, the stuff that you're telling me.
But the thing is as well, when I don't get why, when I read some of these comments, the majority of people that are attacking people with negative points of view of Discovery, half of them come down to accusing that person of simply not liking the show because it's got a female lead, a female coloured lead.
And I always know that sort of shit is coming, which in our case, like, I'm happy to say that, you know, 200 episodes in, like, just look at it. We may swear and all that stuff and talk a load of bollocks, but we are not that.
No, because it's like, fuck off. for the longest time, Janeway was my favourite captain.
Yeah.
Sisko is one of our favourite captains. So people of colour and females, and and we were both excited about Sonequa Martin Green coming on the show.
We were, yeah, just check that, and also note the fact that this co-host on my debut episode, I wasn't even a host, told you that if I have a son, I'm calling him Sisko, and I fucking well did.
Yeah.
And I'm still talking to him and loving him every day.
Exactly. But
I never look back, you know, like that is not an issue for us. We are not those people. People online, on social media, whatnot, can accuse us as much as that as they want, because it's utter bollocks.
No, because we've got fucking hundreds of hours of proof that we aren't those people.
Just talk to us in real life. Like, I would never be that person. That would never be a reason for me disliking anything TV or movie-wise.
We've openly told people not to fucking listen to the podcast.
We have, yeah.
Those are their points of view. So we 100% aren't those people. But that seems to be the go-to argument. And that infuriates me.
I've only just heard about that a bit recently, to be honest. You know how much I love Deep Space Nine and Captain Sisko, and I was only just I do this more often than I should, just type in Avery Brooks Captain Sisko and sometimes like the year behind it, just in case something new comes up on YouTube. And I watched a YouTube video recently of a convention he did years ago. And which I'd already seen. I'd already seen the video that this person had taken and put it into their own video. And they were talking about that exact subject where people... the video was someone asking Avery at a convention in like 2017, which I guess is like the last time he actually wanted to turn up to a convention and do this stuff, because I just guess he just got bored of it. He just thought, I've done this, I've done everything I wanted or needed to do, I don't need the money or whatever. But someone had asked him the question, how does it feel to play the first black captain? And he was just like, it doesn't feel like anything, it's just normal, I don't think about it, I am a black male, like it's no big deal. I don't, you know, and I love Avery, and I get what he's saying. He's trying to downplay it because he's saying like, well, I'm not playing a black captain, I'm just playing a captain.
Yeah,
I am black, I'm a black man playing a captain. Like, I can't play it any one way or the other. That's who I am.
Yeah,
I've been hired to play a commander who becomes a captain later. Like, I can't play it any particular way. That's just who I am. But the reason this YouTuber had put it on is because apparently, as much as I like her, and I don't know what he's referring to because I haven't seen it, but like Sonequa Martin Green has been, he said in this video, that she's been saying like, oh, I'm the first female captain, not female captain, female lead. I'm the first black lead and all this sort of stuff. And it's so empowering. And, you know, I've not seen whatever they're referring to, which I could understand why she'd be saying that. But at the same time, I'm thinking like, seriously? Do you not know what franchise you're involved in? If she really has said, I don't know that. I don't know if she has or she hasn't. I'm just referring to a YouTube video.
Yeah, surely not. Surely she would have done a teeny bit of homework.
But at the same time, I'd think, what fucking convention is she attending right now anyway?
Yeah. No.
But I'll do the research another time. I'm just saying what I heard on this video recently, which was just recycling old stuff of Avery Brooks.
Well, let's face it, there ain't no new conventions going on at the moment, so we might as well recycle some old ones.
I'll tell you what, I've got a confession right here, right now. And I think a lot of people will understand this listening to the pod. This has been a crazy year. And I think a lot of us have spent money on stuff they wouldn't normally spend it on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've said this on the pod before, but more than ever before, and I haven't done it, but I considered getting Avery Brooks' autograph, mm-hmm. signature, you know, on a photo sort of thing, mm-hmm. recently. You can get it for about 60, 65 quid, not Showmasters. The mm-hmm. whole Showmasters thing of them doing it on Facebook is ridiculous, where people are just getting carried away, and they start as like £5 bid, air quotations, and then it goes to about 250 quid, and it's like, what are you guys on?
I tell you, my favourite thing about the ones that they put up for auction, rather than just ones where you just claim it, is the fact that they would turn around and say, this is the end time, but if they're still getting bids at the end, they extend it to get more.
I know I'll get in trouble for that. Well, I say I'll get in trouble for that, but when I say I get in trouble, like that means that we won't get benefits at the next convention. But when is the next bloody Showmasters convention? Fuck knows. When any convention is, anywhere.
Yeah, but if you want impartiality, we'll just buy our tickets.
Yeah, it's not that.
No, exactly. But fuck it. No, that always makes me laugh that they will then.
So stupid, man. Honestly, that. Mm-hmm. You pointed that out to me. I'd barely noticed it. And then as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, bloody hell. What the hell?
That's not the whole thing of fucking auctions.
That's not how an auction works.
No, on eBay, I'm the fucking one sitting there waiting for the last 15 seconds to whack my bid in.
Yeah, that's how it works.
I don't want someone to fucking overbid me. I want to leave it as late as I can. Not then eBay to turn around and say, oh, we've added an extra 10 minutes on just in case. Oh, dude. So.
I know I shouldn't say that, but oh, well. They're not listening. I'm sure they're not listening.
Until anyone wants
to send it on to them, like, oh, no, look what they said about you. Fuck off. The person who sends that on, fuck you.
Unless it's Darren, we'll give you a pass.
Darren's not sending that on. Like, he wants us to do more things. He doesn't want us to just talk to each other. He wants us to go somewhere and do something eventually.
Yeah, eventually. True. Okay. Yeah, it's probably not Darren.
Oh, no. He wouldn't do that. No, he's a good dude.
Nice. Matt.
Yeah, because he paid for his ticket last time.
Yeah.
But if I'm paying for my ticket, so are you guys. I got a few things I want to talk about tonight, but I think I'll do one. I'll do, because time's getting on and we're late. It's late already. I'm gonna do the thing I want to talk about most. Have you got your Christmas present that I sent you?
Okay, now this is very early. So, are you sure you want to do?
Yeah.
Jude's being impatient.
Oh yeah, if we were putting this up on YouTube, which I don't think we're bothering anymore, people would see that I'm wearing a Christmas jumper, one of two Christmas jumpers I own. I've got Christmas lights all over the wall, all over my bookshelf. I've got a ridiculous amount of Christmas lights on a 7-foot Christmas tree that I just bought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm fully in the Christmas spirit already early in November. But by the time this pod goes out, it'll be December. People will be, if they weren't already, they'll be getting in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, no, we've refused to put up our tree until the first weekend in December.
That's what we normally do, but this year's different.
Yeah, no, I know a lot of people are taking that stance of, well, we've had a shit year, fuck it, we're getting in the mood early. So
I saw something on eBay. Don't take it out before.
No, I'm just starting to pry open the end because Jude sent us a parcel. And I noticed you've sealed one end with a Paramount Pictures.
I did.
Slip.
Just to make it seem even cooler.
Yeah, it's got the old DIC. CIC. Is it CIC? It is CIC because whenever they would like, you know that logo?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they would like put it at the end of the shows, I'm sure that little kid's voice would say like, Dick.
It did, yeah. It did.
So it must be a D. And like 6-year-old me would be like, he said it.
Yeah. Yeah, that used to make me laugh too. It still makes me laugh now. Dick.
What do we love?
Dick. But yeah, so because we're not bothering so much with YouTube with these pods anymore.
We'll definitely, I think, make more of an effort with YouTube going forward. I just need to finish
the studio.
Because I ran out of money again. So I need to finish insulating the place. And
okay. So yeah, I decided to buy Wayne a Christmas present. I purposely was on the lookout for stuff. And I decided on what he's going to be opening today. But when I found it, after ages of looking at things that are way too expensive, it was something where I decided to split it. So I'm going to show Wayne my 3/5 of the present after he's looked at his own.
Intriguing. And for listeners at home,
yeah,
what Duke has sent me is not your bog standard square box. It is a cylindrical tube. So the sort that the same shape that you'd get like posters come in, but it's smaller. It's about probably like half that size. So
it's hard and it's erect.
It's very firm. It's at least, I've got quite big hands, so I can get my fingers around it, but only just. So it's got a decent amount of girth.
Yep.
And also,
I'm going to say now, before you get into it, I've actually bought the present for Wayne, but he's probably already what it is. I've bought the present for Wayne, but I had it in mind, for it's not just for Wayne. It is for future YouTube watchers who are watching Wayne.
I honestly haven't got a fucking clue what this
Trackmate Studios there.
I honestly haven't got a fucking clue what this is. And yeah, no, it's really this has baffled me entirely. But that's it. I'm hoping to have the studios all done very shortly as I get paid this week. So okay. So it is a poster of some shape or form. Oh, I think it's two.
Two posters.
Because one's starting to roll away from me. So let's have a look at the first one. Oh, that's beautiful. It's a blueprint design.
It's nice, isn't it, that one?
USS Voyager. I love it.
So that is for your wall behind you, where you're sat.
Thank
is.
You
it
very
was my
much.
Intention.
I absolutely love it. Thank you. And let's have a look at the other one, because that rolled away from me. And the second is DS9 getting attacked by Klingon birds of prey from Way of the Warrior, I would assume.
Yeah.
It's an artist's rendition of it.
Hard to see, but if you just move your hand to the left,
there's a Klingon.
It's Worf.
It's Worf. And there's Worf's face. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much.
No worries, man.
I love it.
But I'm going to have to insist that you stick that up on the wall in Trekmate Studios there until you get something better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I will do in time.
But while you're on here, I've put some Nintendo games on the top of them so I could fold them out so you can see them. We'll just have to describe them to the audio listeners, but I've got a few things on the table here. I'll try and do it so I can see that.
Oh, I see the Defiant.
I've got 3 posters on my dining room table here, so I've got Defiant there.
Yeah.
With
beautiful
Space Nine looking tiny in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And much like yours, I don't think you can.
That's
probably
Cisco.
See. Yeah, Cisco's there.
Mm-hmm.
And we come down and
an Enterprise got, D.
Yeah, flying away from I guess the bottom.
The top.
Deep Space Nine there, yeah.
But with Jadzia's face.
Yes. Yeah, well done for noticing that. Yeah, it's hard to see on a Skype call, but this is the one you're going to be jealous of. This is the one where you'll think, like, oh, why couldn't he send me that? Especially after our conversations over all these years. This was the best of the five, I would say.
Ah, that is beautiful. And that's the picture that would have been on the front of the VHS.
Literally says fourth season at the bottom. So All Out War, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, fourth season with so, Worf's face in, right in the middle. It's really artistic.
I do wonder, cool, so right. Were these posters produced back then as like promoting season four?
I've got to presume they were, yeah.
Because I've never actually seen these posters.
That little thing I stuck on the top, that came with it. The guy sent it with that.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, no, I've never seen these posters at all.
No, I felt so lucky. Like, I was trying really hard for like 2 weeks to search for posters for the room that you're sat in right now. And there's a bunch of Star Trek posters out there that you can get. But people are taking the fucking piss just for one poster alone. Like, they want like 10 to 15 quid for one poster.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, no way, I'm not paying that. That's crazy. But I don't mind saying that. For all the posters I got there together, so for like five, what are they, A5? Is it?
That's what I was trying to figure out what size they were, because I was thinking of getting a frame.
It's, four, it's like four it's defi- times A4.
No, it'd be A3.
A3. No,
wait, would that be...
Four times A4.
No, I don't think that's four times A4. I think that's two times A4.
No, it's fucking not. It's wait, four times.
A5 is...
No, that's four times A4. A4 is just your standard magazine, book, school book, whatever. That's four times at least.
Okay, right. I've got a tape measure because this is a building site.
That's not two times A4.
Okay, that...
I'll take offense if you stick to that.
That looks like about 59 centimeters by...
Two times A4 would be a porno mag. Like poster, that's not what that is.
59 by about 42 centimeters. The 59 might be 60. I'm holding it at a bit of an awkward angle. So
get it on eBay. If I go into eBay, I might just be able to tell you real quick.
59 by 60. So I'm gonna quickly because I would like to get them framed.
It's A2.
Oh, it's A2.
It's definitely A2. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. I can't be bothered to...
A2 size...
59 by 42, if you just said that.
That is what I just said, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, it's A2.
So that is half the size of, like, the big posters that you could go and get in the shop and stuff. There was ones that I was looking at, but I just didn't feel that they were worth it. I think ones that I were looking at would have made you laugh and stuff, but they wouldn't have been as cool as just giving you those two.
No, I absolutely love them. Thank you, dude.
No worries.
I really appreciate that. And I do feel compelled to, I want to get you something for Christmas now.
Oh, don't worry about it. Honestly, I don't mind. I genuinely don't mind if you don't. I will not be offended. Just like most friends, like, you accept the fact that you don't have to get the other one anything for Christmas. But this year, it's just such a shitty year. Like, I'm actually getting more pleasure than usual getting other people stuff. And with you doing that studio this year, I just thought that's the least I can do is just get you some posters. And
I do love it. And
even though I kept some of the best ones for myself, like that Voyager one, I do really like that Voyager one.
The Voyager one is really nice.
And I was like, no, he can have one of the Worf ones, but not the better Worf one.
Yeah.
But I'll give him the Voyager one because that is very cool. And I'm sure he'll appreciate that. And I was just imagining how it'll look sat right behind where you are right now.
Absolutely. And the thing is as well, when I eventually am fully set up, this desk will be much further back towards that wall. So you'll actually see a lot more of this back wall. Because at the moment, you only see literally like my shoulder's width worth. But once we're once the studio is finished, and because this desk needs to go back about another 3.5-4 foot, so you'll get a shot of a lot more stuff behind us. And also, I forgot to tell you one that really fucking disappointed me. You know, I bought that hoverboard to get signed by the cast and that ages ago. Yeah. And then got it, and I had not looked into it properly because the one that I had bought was like a replica prop. So he had made it exactly how the prop in the movie was made. So it wasn't really
something you didn't like.
Yeah, it wasn't suitable for like getting signed. Because like there's so many raised surfaces and that. If I'd known that, I would have just bought the Mattel version that they had brought out, because I paid like 130 odd quid for it.
Yeah.
It was a lot of money. I'd sold a like number of things to actually get it. And then when I was sorting out a few bits, because I was sorting out a few of my studio bits, I took that hoverboard out of my wardrobe, which had only been in my wardrobe since moving here, and literally it fucking fell apart. You know, the discs that are on the bottom, I picked it up, I was like, where the fuck are the discs? The discs were on the bottom. That's bad. Like, so many of the bits that had all been glued were just fell apart. In the end, I just got so angry with it, I just went outside and took it and chucked it in the bin. I was like, no, I ain't even fucking repairing it.
Oh, man, that sucks. That's a shame.
It's like, after spending all that money, I'm not even fucking repairing this, because it was just... because I kept it... I was disappointed by it, but I...
Like, teenage kid on the scooter that just goes past his throat at his head.
Yeah. But I just... I couldn't bring myself to keep hold of it, because when I initially got it, I was unhappy with it, but I was like, okay, well, at least it's going to be a prop for the background in whenever I'm recording. It would just sit there and look nice. But and then it's like...
It still remaining? Has it gone?
Oh, it got picked up by the dustman 3 weeks ago.
Oh, shit.
I was just like, no, yeah, I'm not fucking keeping it. So at some point, I want to buy another hoverboard.
A proper one, though, this time.
Yeah, a proper fucking Mattel hoverboard. But saying that, I think that I've successfully convinced my wife, and I've laid hints with Neil that I'm potentially going to get at least two of the Back to the Future NECA figures for Christmas. Good.
Yeah, I already feel like it's too late for me. I've made a big enough Christmas list as it is. Like, I just think it's too late for that, but
also
hopefully they'll still be around for the next year, and I'll be doing it Christmas.
They're more easily available and cheaper on eBay than they are on
this is not racism. Just don't buy from China.
No, all of them are like the ones that I'm looking at are like, these are 100% official, currently in stock in the UK.
Good.
So yeah, no, I'm not buying.
You have to be careful with that shit. I know it sounds racist, but it's not. Like, China is very, very good.
Knockoffs.
You've got to be careful.
Yeah, no, these ones, and also I've looked at like the seller feedback and
just do your research and you'll be fine.
Yeah, so but because funnily enough, it's like Zavvi were the ones that I was going to order it from, but their price is like 37 quid, and now because initially they were saying that they were going to get them in on like the 23rd of November, and then it's like no, now half of them aren't available until something like the 21st of December. So,
wow. Okay, you're not getting that as a Christmas gift then, are you?
No, exactly. And Doc isn't even
available. You just put something in my mind, actually. One thing, I know we're going to do a Trek off, and I'm still happy to do that, even if it's just one question each. Mm-hmm. But one thing I'm going to spit out, which you know what I'm going to say. Roughly about a week ago, and I think I said it on the last podcast, I got swept up for the first time ever in my life since I was like 12, 13 years old when I got a Super Nintendo. I got swept up in the whole console wars of Xbox One, Series X, whatever, versus PS5. And I'd gone on the side of Sony PS5 and wanted to buy one. And if anyone has been following that, it is insane. It is, they're still not available a week after the fact. It's absolutely disgusting the way certain British people have behaved with it, where they have, I'm learning more all the time about it, even though I've detached myself from it, where like people have been able to buy 3,500 PlayStation 5s in one go. Mm-hmm. And then stick them all on eBay for a grand, even though they're only worth 450, which was already enough money as it was anyway. And people like myself were going on the day that it came out. I've not even shared all this with you, but on the day that it came out, I was on the computer all day long. I didn't share this with you, only little details, but I was on the laptop all day long, and about four or five different sites. I put all my information in, my name, address, my bank details, and I was about to buy it. And then it would just say, oh, it's not available anymore, even though you just, you know, just put everything in as if it was about to happen. And it would just pop up and disappear. And I was on the Stock Informer websites, and it was just absolute madness. And obviously that was happening to everyone everywhere, where it was just down to these bizarre websites that people use to buy themselves ridiculous amounts of these things. Like I said, some people were buying themselves 3,000 plus PS5s and then selling them on for a grand each.
I'm not being funny, right? If you've got enough money to buy that many fucking consoles, you don't need to be selling them to turn that money over.
No, they don't. They really, really don't. But I've heard that people were taking out loans to do that. And obviously, there's loads of normal good people attacking these sellers on eBay or finding them on social media and saying, you're scum. And they're just saying, oh, we're just trying to, you know, just trying to make money for myself and my family in this harsh time. And it's like, no, you don't fucking do it that way. Don't do it that way. Like, whether it's an adult, lame adult like me buying it for themselves or someone buying it for their whole family, don't do that. Don't buy 3,000 consoles for yourself at Christmas time to make a, you know, it's not even making a buck. It's making thousands upon thousands of bucks, like ridiculous amount of people, you know, truly just looking for, which was the only reason I was going to buy it in the first place, is because it's been such a shitty year. I was just like, fuck it. For once, the first time since like 1992, I'm going to buy a console on launch and take the risk. But yeah, I'm going to shut up now and just say I threw that all aside. And one lesson I've learned for myself this year, which I've always sort of known, I know this is going to sound really hippie-ish and stuff, but I kind of believe, I don't believe in any religion or stuff like that. I definitely don't, but I believe in fate. I believe things happen for a reason.
Call it karma.
Yeah, karma. I definitely believe and love the idea of karma for sure.
That was very close to the Peter Venkman quote from Ghostbusters there.
Yeah. But it was partly due to things that we've said on this podcast as well, where I was just like, do you know what? It didn't take me long to think of it after, like I said, like six or eight tries of getting a PS5 like over between 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock on one day, and I was just, this ain't fucking worth it. And I was like, do you know what? I've thought about it for 3 years now. I've spoke with Wayne about it. I'm getting a fucking Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I buy that console, it is £150 less than I'd be, well, more than that, about £170 less than a PS5. I could buy about 3 or 4 games for it, or a controller or whatever, and my entire family will thank me for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did it.
So, for the listeners' sake, what games did you get with it?
So, I managed to get a Switch for 280, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And I got I can show you this, a really nice looking, which took a while to arrive, a really nice looking Nintendo Pro Switch controller, they call it, Zelda edition.
That's beautiful. I'm big into Zelda at the moment.
Oh, me too, man. Me too. So yeah, I've already revealed that. So yeah, I got Zelda Breath of the Wild, which took the longest to get here. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu.
Mm-hmm.
And Mario Kart 8 Deluxe,
yes.
Which was the essential to me. It's like I had to get that.
Absolutely.
That was the one where, you know, if that was the first game that came, which it did, like, mm-hmm. everyone would be like, yes! Which was exactly what happened. Well, I was just like, yeah, I didn't get a PS5, but I got this. And everyone was happy.
Excellent. And how has it gone down Hawkins household?
Brilliantly. Everyone's really enjoyed playing Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Everyone's had a little go on Pikachu, Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Zelda, I think I'm the only one that's played it, but I'm absolutely loving it. I've put hours and hours into it, and if we weren't talking right now, I'd be playing that for sure.
Oh, mate, honestly, Zelda, those games like Zelda, they only come into the household for me. I hope at some point the kids get round to playing them.
Yeah. But,
yeah. Oh, and fucking, I love it. Absolutely love it.
You know a game is good when you've been playing for like 2-3 hours and you're like, oh, do I have to go to bed?
Mm-hmm.
And you're already thinking like, okay, I can probably play it about 11 o'clock tomorrow after I've done these chores that I've got to do, all these things I've got to do. I've carved out a bit of time for it. I can do this, I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And well, that's the thing. Really it's tough. And what's convenient about the Switch is just being able to put it in handheld mode and just take it with you wherever you're going, whatever you're doing.
I have not done that yet, to be honest.
Or if someone's using the TV, just be like, yeah, use the TV and whack it on handheld mode.
Yeah, yeah, I will do that at some point. My eyesight is awful these days. I've spoken about it a bit on the pod where I don't know what you call it, like nearsighted. So if stuff's too close to me,
mm-hmm.
I can't see. I have to move it away from me.
Ah, okay.
So if I was to play on handheld, I'd probably have to wear my new glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So I've not actually done that yet. But
I am glad that you're enjoying the Switch because I love the Switch. I think it's a great console.
Yeah, while we're on the TrekMate podcast, I just wanted to ask you about one thing which I know you'll be interested in and mm-hmm. one thing which the listeners might be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
One is, I was going to say, did you know that AVGN, the game, is available on Switch?
I did know that. I haven't actually played it or bought it, but I did know that, yes.
It's only about £13, and I will definitely buy it sometime in the next month. Mm-hmm. December. It's got to be done. I thought I'd just wait until like December 2nd or something just to see if they like put it on offer for mm-hmm. Christmas. But it's only currently available on Steam and Switch. So as soon as I got the Switch, I was like, I can play that game. I've been wanting to play that for ages. I knew that it exists. Well, it's two games. It's AVG. For people who don't know, if you can't remember us saying Angry Video Game Nerd, it's a YouTube series. It's a intelligent guy, same age as us, who plays the character of an angry video game nerd who's just been doing it for like 12, 15 years, and it's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah, basically just ripping apart games.
Yeah, just mainly old games.
Yeah, normally just the like 8-bit or 16-bit.
Yeah, games. He knows mainly what he likes. 8-bit. Just like we know what we like, but like if it's shit, he's gonna shit all over it, and he's gonna use that language while he's doing it. Like honestly, like the language this guy uses in his YouTube videos makes us seem like. I don't know.
We're choir boys.
Yeah, choir boys, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, absolutely. No, I do intend to pick that up at some point. At the moment, the Black Friday deals on Xbox are quite impressive.
I'm sure they are, yeah.
It's and the thing is, I'm mainly all digital nowadays as well. Oh, okay. So I tend not to get like physical copies just because I like the ease of just having them there all the time. And it's like Microsoft ain't going anywhere. And
oh, no.
So the games ain't just going to disappear. But Resident Evil 3 the remake is currently down £16.
Oh, I can tell you something on that. For the first time, I played the remake of Resident Evil 2 the other day. It was the demo.
What did you think of the demo?
Really enjoyed it. It was a PS4, which, just for the record, like regarding PS5, I'm just going to wait like 6 to 12 months. I'm in no hurry to get it anymore now. I've got the Switch. I'll enjoy the Switch and I'll enjoy the PS4, but fuck PS5 and Xbox One Series X for another 6 to 12 months for me.
Yeah, no, well, funnily enough, Neil's original Xbox died about a month and a half ago, and he really wants a Series X. So between him and myself, when shops reopen on Thursday, he's going to get down to his local game, which is the Oxford Street one. And I'm going to go to my game and go to Smith's and try and, because hopefully with the stores having been shut, they would have got in some consoles into the stores.
And Microsoft are a lot more on the ball with that than Sony is. They've really fucked up Sony in the UK at least.
Yeah, so I'm going to be trying
to sort.
Oh my
god. I mean, I know you're busy, you know, just like me, you've got family life going on, but you've got work going on as well. You're not just a full-time dad, you're a bus driver and all that stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon. Have you seen the stories with PS5 and Amazon?
Oh, I fucking have. Yeah, people
they sent
literally
people like cat food and rice and god knows what instead. And said, oh, sorry, you haven't got your PS5. Here's some cat food and a £5 voucher.
Yeah.
Completely fucked up. That's insane. How angry would you be?
Well,
I'd be furious if that was me.
Yeah, and also it's game really fucked people off as well on release day because they had promised to send out the PS5s via Royal Mail. But
yeah.
They, in the end, sent them via Yodel.
Yeah.
And suddenly a whole bunch of them just didn't turn up.
Yeah, at least that like they're going to turn up rather than Amazon with the cat food and the God knows what else.
Oh, no. Well, and also, I do wonder because I know I did see, I can't remember what country it was, but one Amazon delivery driver got sacked and he's getting prosecuted for nicking.
Oh, that's happened a lot as well. Yeah, I've read a lot of that too. I guess mainly America, where they just what's the word I'm looking for? They abuse the system. I can't think what word to use. But
well, funnily enough, it's probably like someone who lives down the road. Leanne's on like the local Facebook group for where we live, and she read that someone was really fucked off because They had an Amazon delivery, and it said that it had been delivered, and a photo had been taken of it being delivered. But because that's the thing now, like, they have to take a photo, don't they? And they had put it on the driveway, took a photo of it, and then loaded it anyway. Yeah, and then loaded it back onto
fucking
the van.
Scummy.
But they shot themselves in the fucking foot because that person that they was delivering to had a Ring doorbell.
Good.
So recorded the whole thing. And like, so that person's obviously fucking losing their job.
I actually watched a video just last night where I thought it was going to be a genuine video of like, oh, this guy nicked my PS4. And like, they had all Halloween decorations outside the house, a load of pumpkins and stuff. And yeah, the guy's just like smashing pumpkins up and smashing the guy's Halloween decorations. And it was like about 10 seconds in where I was like, okay, that's a joke. But, you know, it was funny.
Oh.
I enjoyed watching it because that is happening, you know. Consoles are being... But one thing that I read, which I thought was very cool, was, and I was just like, yeah, that's me, I'm part of that, is that Nintendo Switch just had like a massive, what's the word?
Surge. Oh,
God. Yeah, surge of sales over the last week or so. And that was clearly because of people just in the exact same position as me, is like, oh, I really want this PS5, I really want this Xbox. Fuck it, I'll get a Switch.
You can wait. Christmas is round the corner, and a lot of people are not going to be able to afford to pay scalper prices for their consoles.
Nah.
And rightly so, wouldn't be willing to pay that for it. So
just, I did just say it, but I didn't really say it in a bubble. For the amount that it would have cost me, retail price for a PS5, £450, I got free games, a controller, a pro controller, and the console itself for about £13 less than it would have cost me just for a PS5 console.
Yeah.
So I was very, very happy, and I won't be looking back or having any regrets over that.
No,
honest.
Absolutely. And to be honest, I'm in the camp of, I'm a multi-console person, a multi-platform person. It's just that I have not been in a financial position to own a PlayStation and an Xbox. We decided to have Switches because because of the kids, and also it's a good family console.
It is. 100%, yeah.
But once the PS5 has been out for a while and the PS4s go down in price, I definitely intend to buy a PS4 to play the games that I haven't been able to yet.
Yeah, because it's an excellent console, and I'll be playing it for a good while yet with all the games that are still available.
Oh, absolutely. And there's so much to... I tell you what, because I've... On the Xbox, I've been playing loads of Xbox, and I've just completed the second Ori game. So Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which is a beautiful platformer. Absolutely loved. And I'm also playing like Gears Tactics. I'm
cool.
playing a whole bunch of other stuff. But I tell you what, I've been playing a lot lately because I never finished the second game in the run of it, is to like really push the power of the Xbox Series X.
Mm.
I am currently playing South Park Fractured Butthole.
Nice.
And I'll tell you, it's pushing it to its limits, but no,
it's definitely fun.
It's such a good game. It's
both
so
of their games.
Funny.
Both of their games are really well done.
Yeah, it's so funny. But
if you like, you have to love South Park, I would say, and like old school RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, you'll love the two South Park games.
Well, absolutely. And also, if you do like them and you're listening to this, because I'm probably going to put this out midweek, so you're probably going to have a day or two to purchase it. But if you're on Xbox, because I sent the links to Neil and he's bought them in anticipation for when he eventually gets his console back. But the Stick of Truth digital is down to £8.24.
Wow, that's a bargain.
And the Fractured But Whole is £12.49. Or you can buy both of them.
Both bargains there.
Or you can buy both of them for £19 altogether for the two of
Excellent.
Them. So he's picked them up. But also, I picked up the BioShock collection, so the remasters of all three of them.
Have you played them before?
No.
I've played all three, and definitely good.
Yeah, I haven't played them.
Interesting.
And
know who one of the voiceover actors is?
No.
Armin Shimerman.
Oh, cool.
But Very you wouldn't cool. even recognize him.
Excellent.
I told him that the first time I ever met him. I had literally just completed the first and second game.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, I only just saw the credits last night and saw what your name was on there. Like, I didn't even know that was you.
Yeah.
Like, you did a really good job, but I had no idea that was you until 24 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, obviously, most of these people would say in his position, he was just like, oh, thanks. Thanks so much. But I was like, no, seriously, didn't recognize you at all.
That is a testament to what a good job we've done.
Definitely.
No, for those three games, the collection, which are optimized for the Xbox One X, but so they run the 4K at 60 frames per second.
Wow.
For £8.
Yeah, mega bargain.
£8 for the two.
I get the feeling we're not going to be doing a track off. Because I just want to mention one more thing, even though I've not really done my research. Just wanted to mention to you and the listeners that I'm guessing it's probably on Xbox. I think it's on Switch, and I know it's on PS4 because I saw it on there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new game. I think it's called Space Crew, and it is clearly ripping off in the nicest way Star Trek.
Yes, I have seen that.
You've seen it, yeah? So if anyone else hasn't seen it, just go watch the trailer. You might not want to play it. You might not like games at all. You might be fed up with me and Wayne talking about games. But just watch the trailer at least, and you'll have a laugh. They've clearly based the advertising cover art type thing.
On very TNG.
Yeah, very TNG. And... if I had more time and more money, I would have got it by now.
Mm-hmm. Same here. The thing is, there are so many games, because I went through a period of not playing many games. I've got so many games to catch up with now that the kids are at an age where I can dedicate more time.
That yeah.
So, but
too many games.
One game that I did want to mention to you that I haven't played, so I don't know anything about it. But I did see that there's an expansion come up lately. I think it's a free-to-play game, but you can buy bits to go on it. Is they're currently doing a crossover with Smite and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I've already done it, mate. I saw that it was a thing, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm downloading that. But I can confirm, at least on the Switch, but you've got to pay extra for the turtles, but they'll let you play the normal game itself.
Probably be the case.
I played it, and it was quite fun. I can't think what to compare it to. It's you're in an arena sort of thing, mm-hmm. and you've got you're part of an online team, mm-hmm. which I don't know who sorts out who's going with who. I guess maybe based on the levels that you're at, you start at level 0 or 1 or something,
mm-hmm.
and I won my first game with the team that I was on, and it's most of the characters are based on Roman and Greek mythology gods and Norse mythology, that all that sort of stuff, Thor and stuff and Zeus and whatnot. I can't think what to compare it to, but it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But wish the turtles had been available straight away, to be honest.
But not enough to fork out the money for the turtles expansion.
No.
If you'd enjoyed the game more, then...
Yeah, but it's partly because of what I said, because there's too many games. There's too many other games which I'd much rather play or buy first.
Yeah.
You never know. One day, maybe. I think it's been going for years anyway, that game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I say one other fucking bargain that I probably will buy just because it was on Xbox and the Black Friday deals was they had the Xbox 360 release of Sonic Adventure from the Dreamcast was only like £1. Wow. Was like £1.20.
Wow, that's good.
So and I've played that game so many times, but I'm just like £1.20.
Yeah, that's nice.
Why not? Just to have it, so I can turn on the Xbox and just have it there. I'm like, oh yeah, no, I might do. But oh no,
I love a bit of Sonic. Yeah, I'm tempted by Sonic Mania myself, which is about a tenner at the moment.
Yeah, I've got Sonic Mania. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really enjoyed it. And it's made by people who love the original, like, 16-bit
From the videos I've seen, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And it can be hard. It can be hard as well. It doesn't take no prisoners as you get further on. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Yeah, you want that in this day and age, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What else was I going to mention? I don't think there was. I think it was just a trek off. We might have to just do two questions or one question and that be it.
Shall we do a couple of questions before we shit on Discovery? Because I know we promised.
Are we really going to... Should we not shit on Discovery? Should we just leave that for next time? Is it not just easier to say Discovery sucks? Tune in next week to find out why and just do a trek off then.
You
do what you want. I'm not bothered. I'm not bothered. I'm happy to stay up as long as you are.
Yeah, well, I'm same here.
It's a day where, you know, we don't need to worry about...
waking up early.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I'm happy to do either way. I liked your idea of just spending a couple of minutes at the end of the show, just me briefly explaining to you what happened.
Yeah, I think that would be a funny thing from now onwards for you to just not tell me in text and just tell me on here so I can actually be genuinely surprised, because I have no intentions of watching it anytime soon. Maybe in the, you know, distant future, but not right now.
Yeah, no, well, because that's the thing. It's... I know we said last week we're not going to touch on Discovery, but Jude was just like, no, you need to tell me what's fucking going on because it's unbelievable.
Yeah, but just save it to the end so people aren't getting offended.
Yeah.
Well, who cares if they're getting offended, but you know what I mean? Like, they can tune out if they want to.
So what do you reckon? Do we do a little bit of track off, or do we dedicate a show to it next time, considering... Do we write this show off as a...
You choose. Honestly, let you choose.
Have you got a coin? Shall we flip a coin?
No, don't worry about a coin. You choose. If you'd rather do Discovery bashing, do that. Or if you'd rather do a track off, we'll do that. I'll let you decide.
My second
Christmas present to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Even. I tell you what, we will have a proper episode This is what happens when we don't really, because we're like, no, we'll do an episode.
It's gone
2 o'clock
in the morning, so if we did do a trek off now, like, it'd just be like, oh, what the fuck is wrong with us? Neither of us knows anything.
I'm surprised at how awake I am, considering it's 2 o'clock.
Yeah,
I'm quite awake. Okay, so I'll give you a brief synopsis.
When you were sending me, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, but when you were sending me text, it was genuine when I was just laughing at this stuff, just like, what? You know, I half thought you were joking. Well, the same for the other times you've sent me stuff, but definitely the latest one more so than usual. I was just like, is he making that up?
No.
Is he trying to make me laugh?
Yeah, no, honestly. The first thing that initially got my back up. So, obviously, if you don't want to be fucked off about us bashing Discovery, Thank you for listening, everyone.
And we'll see you next week.
That was Trekmate.
Or speak to you next week, yeah.
However.
That was Trekmate.
However, for those who are willing to stick about and hear me get annoyed, the first thing that got my back up was the fact...
What episode are they on now? Four, five?
No, I think this might be seven.
Seven?
I think this might... I'll double check quickly now. Discovery. This is season three, episode seven. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so they titled this episode Unification 3. So...
Tut-tut.
So... Already, obviously, it gives you an idea that it's going to be Vulcan-centric and it's going to touch on notes from Unification. But that just straight away, like, got the hairs on the back of my neck, like, yeah. Right up of, like, do not shit on Unification because that's a fucking classic. So, okay. And the premise, basically, for it was that Burnham was trying to single-handedly is trying to find out the cause of the burn.
I'm just going to say for all the audio listeners, like, it's not the first time I've said this, but for it's not Wayne's fault, but for the majority of everything Wayne says, I'm going to be shaking my head left to right for all this.
Yeah.
So carry on, man. Sorry. So
unless we stay otherwise,
I'm doing that. Yeah, I'm shaking my head constantly.
And from this point forward, until stated otherwise. So Michael Burnham at this point in Discovery is single-handedly taking the responsibility of discovering the cause of the burn. Discovery wants to just like do its mission and be a part of Starfleet, but Michael wants to discover the cause of the burn. So
the fact was even called the burn, for fuck's sake.
The burn, yeah. And it turns out she has found data that signifies that three ships they've triangulated the where these three different ships all experienced the burn at 0.03 microseconds difference from each other that yeah. has triangulated the point of where the burn started, and it doesn't coincide with where it is meant to be, which is I'm sure they called the planet Navarre. However, that's the new name for the planet Vulcan, because they renamed Vulcan because it's now inhabited by Vulcans and Romulans. There was finally unification. The Vulcans took in the Romulans.
And they had to rename it that for some bizarre reason.
Why would you not just keep the planet Vulcan? And it's like, okay, yeah. Our planet blew up. Cheers for taking us in. But also, the thing is, right, with that kind of... I don't understand why there were so many... This is also a point for Picard. I don't understand why there were so many displaced Vulcans because... Romulans. Because the Romulan star blew up. We all know that supernovas only fucking affect that star system.
Mm-hmm.
Because... It doesn't just destroy an entire fucking... That's why it, but this also then goes back to the JJ verse problems of when there's like, oh, Spock had to save the fucking Alpha Quadrant.
Yeah.
Because Romulus's star was going supernova. It's like, no, that wouldn't have fucking affected any fucker else. Mm-hmm. It would have only... fucked up the Romulans. So yeah, anyway, that aside, so they then turn around and say, well, the cause of the burn was actually on Vulcan, and Burnham's like, well, that doesn't coincide with my data. It couldn't have been that. Could you get in touch with the Vulcans? It's like, no, we're not friends with the Vulcans anymore. They like left the Federation a long time ago. And she's like, oh, okay. And then there's a thing of her, and then he tells her, well, actually, it was Spock that caused and like that started unification process. It's like, oh, that's nice. Like, so my brother actually did something worthwhile in the end. Good for him.
He's not your fucking brother.
And
sorry,
then like, she goes back to her quarters, watches a couple of reruns of TNG. And like sees like a nice speech from Spock, which is like, it's a nice moment because it's like, yes, there's good old Nimoy. And
he wouldn't approve of all this, I'm sure.
No.
I know loads of people would love to think he would, but I'm sure he'd be saying, this is bollocks.
Yeah. Just like... It really fucking is. And so then the Admiral turns around and goes, well, actually, you're the brother, you're the sister of Spock, who is held in such high regard as a historical figure for the Vulcans and the Romulans. Maybe you can be the bridge to bring Vulcans closer back to the Federation.
Of course.
So, Michael Burnham, go save us. Go fucking
save the universe again. Please, Michael.
It's
you're the only one that can do it.
They're going to go back and rewrite that fucking Princess Leia speech in Star Wars. Michael Burnham, yeah. You're our only hope. So, so they send Discovery to Vulcan. And loads of bollocks happens. At this point, also, Saru.
I know what you're about to say because I remember from the text.
Saru.
Everything that Wayne texts me, as someone who's not watching it anymore, I know I already said it, but just sounds like a joke. Like Wayne is just texting me to make me laugh. So, like, this is the most ridiculous. Like, he's not watching it either. He's just making stuff up. Yeah, like, this is what happened this week. Like, just to make me laugh. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, bollocks, mate.
So,
Saru, as the now captain of the USS Discovery, decides that he no longer gives two shits about the chain of command and makes
that sort of stuff.
The over-emotional ensign, the fucking ensign first officer.
Yeah, I mean, they've always been good friends. They're always in scenes together, and she's really good at what she does. So
two of the only crew members who anybody knows the name of.
Yeah.
So why the fuck not?
Yeah.
I mean, hell, she's
so good at everything she does.
It's not as if she's unstable. It's not as if she's overly emotional and like needs reassurance all the fucking time. And then Tilly has to think about it. Tilly has to fucking think about it. So there's your B plot for the rest of the fucking episode.
Great. Right?
Okay. And then we get to Vulcan and they turn around and say, hello, Mrs. High Chancellor of Vulcan, not Vulcan, Navarre. Really nice to see you. We're from the past. Oh, we already know that. We've heard all about you. Oh, okay. So, wait, hang on. You've heard all about us. Yes, I've heard all about you. I know that you're the sister of Spock. How the fuck do you know that? I thought that the whole communication relay was fucking down. That was down like three episodes ago, wasn't it? Like everyone was out of communication with everyone. That's why the Federation fell apart, because we can't talk to anyone. No, now the Vulcans. Okay, so we then get over that, like that fucking piece of shit that now they're in good communication with Vulcan. They're just not good friends with them. Can we have a look at your data records for the burn? No. Why? Because no. Okay, but why? Because no. Okay, well, in that case, and then Burnham, they turn around and say, like, look.
Do you know what that says to me? That says that they need to have a phaser fight.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to spoil this for you. I was waiting for the phaser fight all episode, and this is the first
time.
This is the first episode in the whole season where we don't have an intense grip your fucking seat phaser fight.
And oh, that's terrible.
To be honest, I was really disappointed because I was waiting for it the entire episode. And then at this point, Michael Burnham, as a someone who was trained, went to the Vulcan schools and everything else, she's got her Vulcan PhD, then enacts a ancient Vulcan tradition of basically challenging any authoritative figure to have to release information in the act of pursuing truth. So I can't recall off of the top of my head if this is something that has ever really been used within Star Trek or if it's something new. And the premise of it doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me at all. So then basically the three Vulcan elders have to the elders of the population or elected leaders rather have to then have basically a court to hear Burnham's plea and see whether they then agree. One is her, the Vulcan person that's in charge. The other is the Romulan person that's in charge, and the third person is a half Vulcan, half Romulan mix. So they all add their own sort of mix to the table. And rather than holding this on Vulcan, it's actually held on the ship, which I'm only assuming it's budget constraints, because I would have thought this would have been done on Vulcan. But they did have some torches, some torches suddenly appear out of nowhere. So the 30th century tech kind of really kicking in and showing it all. I will touch on the tech again at some point because it's really starting to fuck me off. Michael has to have a representative on her side, or basically an advocate. That's what they call it. Mm. An advocate. She has to have an advocate who turns out it is going to be one of our favorite things from Picard. Which probably genuinely was the warrior Romulan monks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I just remembered you texting me that as well.
Yeah. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Warrior monks, who are all female except the one that Picard chucked into their care.
Nun ninjas.
Yeah, the ninja nuns. And it turns out, because I'm pretty sure, right, because I know Discovery likes to shit on rules of previous Trek.
Oh, God, yeah.
But seeing as Picard only came out earlier this year, you would have thought that maybe they wouldn't. But shit on Picard just yet. Remind me, mate. From Picard.
Don't ask me. Picard has lost me as well at this point. I will be
watching. Try.
I will watch season two of that more eagerly than I will season whatever of Discovery, but okay. Go on, carry on.
As much as we both disliked how Picard ended up, am I right in saying that the warrior nuns had to be raised and trained by the warrior nuns from, like, childhood?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So why the fuck was the advocate for Burnham trained from when she was a middle-aged woman, as it is Michael Burnham's mum who is her advocate?
Because Burnham's Michael mum Burnham went into the center of the universe, and just because we'll Michael just Burnham's fit it around that.
Went into the future as a middle-aged woman and then became a Romulan warrior nun.
Fuck, honestly.
Honestly, it's fucking ridiculous. So then they spend the whole...
I'd be very interested in the future to hear the explanation of people for all this stuff.
Yeah.
But people try... Because I have previously been there myself, where I've tried to stretch things or bend things to, you know, maybe the story writers were thinking this or... But that was for old Trek, not for new Trek. Like, now, they just don't give a crap, I think.
No.
I really don't think they care.
No. And then, okay, I won't go into the whole fucking 20 minutes that we spend in the courtroom period.
Yeah, because I'm going to have to save something for the next time, because we're getting
I'm just going to cut tired, to the fucking chase. I'm going to cut to the fucking chase, because honestly, who gives two shits about what went on there? But yeah, in the end, Michael Burnham single-handedly convinces these three people that they should give them the information that they want by basically... I won't even go into it, it's fucking boring. But so she gets the information that she wants, but also convinces them that may, and like gives them the impression that maybe they should start to begin the healing process with the Federation as well. Though Saru did get involved with that a bit. Saru did, mm-hmm. I'll give him that. Saru did get involved in that a bit, but you can only give the real credit to Michael Burnham, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And also, it's funny
nothing
because...
Nothing didn't happen without Michael.
Well, also, what a thing that a lot of people, I say a lot of people, I mean me and Dominic, took kind of offence to, is there is a line, I can't recite it for you word for word, but it's from the High Priestess or whatever she's called.
Do your best, it's fine.
Which basically turns around and says, it basically turns around and says that no wonder Ambassador Spock done such an amazing job with unification, with unifying the Vulcans and the Romulans, when he had a sister like you to inspire him and show him the way.
Fuck off. Just so massive fuck off, CBS.
Retroactively, Michael Burnham has now taken credit for unification.
Fuck off. Really? Seriously? Just go and shit yourself down the drain.
Spock was only as good as he was because of his sister.
Of course, yeah.
And then also...
Who he never mentioned once in 25 years or whatever it was that he was on screen.
He gave that much of a shit.
Well, more than 25 years, because he was in the bloody reboots. Remember reboot, guys? I couldn't have done this without my sister.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, oh, fucking, no. But he, but then we have a beautiful... Beautiful.
Where did Cybok come into all that as well?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, we forget Cybok. But we have this beautiful, touching moment where Because obviously Tilly's been talking to Stamets and everything about like the situation, and then Tilly enters engineering, where the majority of the nameless crew
sounds more like an episode of Saved by the Bell or something.
Yeah,
Tilly
are all standing in engineering, and she opens the door, and they all go, "Just say yes." She's like, what? And they're like, just say yes, Tilly. We all love you. Oh, we all have faith in you. We'll follow you to the end of the world.
We just all outrank yes, you as well. And, but fuck it, who cares?
And then she
I'm
comes
sure
down.
We won't die underneath your...
She's like, are you sure? And they're like, yeah. And she's like, fine. I'll
say
do it
every now and then. It's really funny, I'm sure.
And then Burnham comes in like a minute late and
just goes, fuck yeah.
And she goes, oh, did I miss the bit where we all say yes? And then makes it all about Burnham again. Deciding that God. She is going to stay with the ship.
Back.
And it's just like, fuck off!
Oh my God, seriously? Again, like, you didn't text me all that, but it just, again, what you're saying sounds like you're just saying this to make me laugh or wind me up, or both.
Really fucking not.
I know, I believe you.
And, oh, but then there's just certain, and that's ignoring just the nitpicky side of me of just then me having issues with things like the technology, like the stupid fucking disappearing, reappearing floors, you never even saw the communicators. Have I explained the communicators to you?
I don't know.
No, I just remembered that. They have magical communicators now, right? Where they can tap their communicators twice and it will beam. It's got transporter technology built into it, right?
Okay.
So they just tap their communicator twice and they can transport wherever the fuck they want on the ship.
Without saying it.
So it's not even like transport me to Cargo Bay 6. No, they literally just tap it, think it, and it beams them to wherever they want. Because like, they had a whole comedy thing of like the lizard crew member who he kept on beaming into the wrong place of the ship a couple of episodes ago.
Oh, yeah, I kept seeing like a meme online whenever I went on their Facebook and whatnot. And I was just like, what's that all about?
Yeah. No, that's
just
what
a lizard guy just saying, oh, I'm in the wrong place or something.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where that comes from. So
and that's hilarious.
It was hysterical. Right.
I thought the wrong thing. I was thinking about having a shit, but
yeah, no, it was like Burnham's about to snog Wood or whatever his name is. Book. And then
he's still about, is he?
Yeah, Bar. Book why is am still I even about. Asking? Yeah, no, carry no. On. Him and Burnham are a thing now. But yeah. So that technology makes zero sense to me. It's not like when they gave out those communicators as like, okay, we're going to implant a chip into your brain so that then you can operate things, which still wouldn't make sense, but at least I would accept.
How little time do you have to not have to say something at the very least?
Yeah. So no, but the thing is, now whenever anyone's going anywhere, because it looks cool, they just walk along, tap, and just disappears wherever they're going. It's not like someone
but they're
is
on Discovery anyway. So how have they got that? They've just
they've retrofitted
gone into
Discovery.
The future. How long have they been there?
Starfleet have retrofitted Discovery with all this tech in.
Even meet with Starfleet?
Oh, they arrived at Starfleet an episode or two ago.
And they've done all this stuff in a couple of days.
They found Starfleet, who have got a couple of they've got like this. Basically, Starfleet have built a like giant hollow sphere thing so that no one can detect them. They're all inside this big bubble. And it's like a whole bunch of ships. And they had a really beautiful flyby shot of the USS Voyager J. So it's
I saw that too. Yeah, there's a nod to Voyager. Guys.
And also,
but is it though? Is it though? Really?
It was on your screen for like 3 seconds.
No, but is it though, really? It's not fucking Voyager, is it?
No, it's the USS Voyager J, like we would get the Enterprise A, B, C, D, E. So it's like the whatever down the line. But the thing is as well, which I can understand that.
That's like if I suddenly took my arse out on this podcast and it had Thundercats written on it. Yeah. Like, you're not suddenly going to start going, oh my God, Joe just took his ass out and it's got Thundercats written on. That's amazing. That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's still my ass. It's not really anything to do with Thundercats.
And also, people, there was such beautiful, touching tributes to two people that the community care about and have lost over time, with Aaron Eisenberg and Anton Yelchin, who both died far before they should have done. There was beautiful, touching tributes that I didn't even fucking see because they were that fucking fleeting. People making out, there's a touching tributes because there's a ship that they named the USS Nog, which people have grabbed a screenshot of like, look, there it is. And it's like, okay, that's great. However, someone who was watching the show didn't even fucking notice it because it was just in a pan shot that lasted for half a second.
If you really want to do something for guys like that, fucking do it while they're about.
Yeah, but also
Aaron Eisenberg would have recorded the show Captain Nog anytime you'd asked him over the last 25 years. Just ask him, he would have fucking done it.
Yeah, and I'm assuming it was the same for Yelchin. Like, there was probably like a USS Yelchin or something like that. But the thing is, right, it was such a fleeting thing that I didn't fucking notice. It's not as if one of the characters in the background was like, oh, we've just had a hail from the USS Nog. They've said this. Or like the USS Nog says you've got permission to do this. No, it's not even mentioned in word. It's just one of the fucking guys who works in special effects
To me, it just seems like lazy fan service. Just like the fucking woman wearing a Morn mask on the first episode that I watched.
Yeah, fucking lazy.
It's not anything real. It's just like, oh, someone somewhere or a few thousand people will love this. And it's like, no, actually, they fucking won't. You'll actually drive them away because they'll think, fuck you.
Yeah.
What a load of bullshit. I'm not an idiot. Stop treating me like one.
And here's magic tech for you, mate. Here's magic tech for you. The ship where it's been like retrofitted with all the new tech, the nacelles, right? The nacelles are no longer attached to the ship.
What?
The nacelles are held on with magic tractor beams. They don't even call them tractor beams. They said it is more efficient.
How is that practical in any way? I mean, I don't usually get into that sort of stuff, but how is that practical?
How are you meant to actually? Me and Dom had this conversation and was like, number one, how do you get the energy from the warp core to the warp nacelles without there being like a physical link? So they're being held on with like a tractor beam.
That's just
type technology.
Silly.
So that's
that's the polite way of saying it's silly. That's how I would say it in front of my youngest son. But it's fucking moronic.
Yeah, and also, right, what happens if
it's all just for a picture? It's all just to go, ooh, look at this. It's almost as cool as the fucking spinning ship.
Yeah.
Every time it warps.
What if your enemies fire a phaser between that beam that's holding the nacelle on?
You're fucked.
Yeah. Or what if, rather than attacking you to disable you, a ship just puts a tractor beam on one of your nacelles and warps off and you've got one nacelle left?
Yeah.
So, okay. So, yeah, it's a fucking stupid idea. And also another thing that wound... Okay, there's two more tech bits I want to touch on because I know we're not normally those guys. No. But it wound me up. Number two, they're keeping Book's ship in their cargo bay, which suddenly it's like, okay, they must have a really fucking big cargo bay. But they have like this beautiful scene at the end of Book and Burnham like standing on his ship's deck looking at the stars, and it turns out that they're just looking out of the shuttle bay because the shields of the shuttle bay are there. Why the fuck are they not just shutting the shuttle bay doors? They've literally just got like the fucking force fields going. They're not actually using physical doors there. That annoyed me. But secondly as well, they've all now got their own personal futuristic pads, in the sense of they have these things that now when they open their hand, they've got all of that holographic display and shit. So it's like they've got these things on their wrists and they just open their hand and now they've got all of those holographic displays. They don't even need to program in what they want. They open it and then suddenly it's on the right page. They know exactly what they need. So not only have they got magic transporters, magic pads, magic floors. The thing,
Star Trek? When they fart, there's just like a map come out of their bum or something.
Yeah, I know it, mate. Honestly, I know that. Any tech, what's the phrase that Picard uses in TNG? That any advanced technology could be seen as magic from a primitive mind. And I get that. However, there is no common sense on how this works. Oh. I mean, back in the day...
It's all just for a visual, isn't it? It's all just for a modern audience to go, hey guys, doesn't this look cool? We're not going to explain to you how this would actually make sense in any time period, but here you go. Doesn't it look cool, guys?
Do you remember back in the day when Star Trek fans would lament over having just read like 300 pages of Star Trek technical manual?
Mm-hmm.
Where now, a Star Trek technical manual would be a fucking leaflet. And on one side, it would be like, if you can dream it, it can happen.
Yeah.
It's just like,
or
literally.
There was, what was it? It was either Bethesda or BioWare, where he's just mocked. It's Bethesda. It's the guy who was appointed head of Bethesda for Fallout and stuff, when they put Fallout 76 or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
The basically failed online version. Where he did one of the convention things, and his catchphrase he kept saying was, "It just works."
Yeah.
It just works. And then the game came out and it was a fucking failure and everything didn't bloody work. It was an absolute disaster. But then that video from months before was everywhere of him just going, "It just works." That's all I could think of as you're saying that. Yeah. Don't worry about how it works.
Yeah, exactly.
Just trust us. This bullshit is real.
The thing is, unfortunately, we're at a point now where Star Trek has less realism in it than Harry fucking Potter.
Or Star Wars.
Yeah.
Which, like, quite often they're trying to be, but I've actually started watching again today Mandalorian Season 2, but at least it is what it is.
Yeah.
They're not trying to be something else. They're just being what they always were, and... The Mandalorian does it better than the movies these days, I'd say. But whoever's in charge of Star Trek, or the group that's in charge of Star Trek, it's like they're embarrassed of what made them what they were in the first place.
Yeah.
They're embarrassed of it, but they're not afraid to borrow from it for little things just to try and keep some people on board. And
Which again, kind of...
I'm happy for people if they do like it, but like I feel insulted by all of it.
It kind of sums up CBS entirely, what you've just said. Like, they only want to know it when it's a fucking cash cow.
Yeah.
And do not give a shit about, like taking advantage of, but not staying true to what it is.
I honestly don't want Picard, and especially Discovery, to employ any of the old actors now. I just don't want to see it.
Yeah.
I'd rather them just do what you're going to do and just leave, like, the people that I love and respect, leave them alone.
A part of me... Okay, this is real fucking... I say this really, really, really reluctantly.
Mm.
But if this is all we've got to look forward to, I wish the franchise would just fucking die.
Yeah. I know people will hate us or hate you for saying that, but I completely understand. I definitely stand by what I'd already said, even as a prediction. Like, Lower Decks is my favorite new series, and that's not saying much because it wasn't great, but it's definitely better than the two real life action ones, especially Discovery. God, it's gone down the bloody toilet.
Yeah.
And I have high hopes for the Nickelodeon one starring Janeway. I really do.
Yeah. Well, I hope that someday we get Trek that we want. I know you're never going to make everybody happy. I hope so.
It does happen sometimes with franchises where, you know, whoever's in charge craps all over it so much or makes such a cock up of it. But eventually they are forced to pay attention to people saying, like, come on, guys, this is bollocks. This is shite. This doesn't make sense. And they'll eventually do what they should have done all along. But whether it's going to happen with CBS and Star Trek, I don't know. I don't have the confidence in that that I would like.
No, and they will only be listening to those positive fans.
Yeah, and for me, like, and I know people are going to hate me now for what I'm about to say. I think, from what I see on social media, which is not much because I don't go on there much now, but from what I see, I think people are too positive about this stuff where they don't want to offend the actors who they might potentially meet at conventions in the near future. They don't want to offend previous or current writers or producers, directors, whatever, or just fellow fans. They don't want to rock the boat sort of thing, where they just focus on what little positives there is or fool themselves into believing things where, like, oh yeah, this is great, and just toe the line, just say, yeah, this is brilliant, really good, love Star Trek, love where it's going. And it's like, I have to question, do you really believe that? Are you just saying that because you want to kind of fit in with all these people that you've got on with for years now, fellow fans or the people that are involved with the show? I know what it's like. I know what it's like to speak to the people involved in the show and feel bad about dissing it. Like when the other day when I was speaking to Max Gwedenchik and you forced me to call him out and like, oh, Max, do you know you were in a shit movie?
Yeah.
What was that like? Did you actually realize? But, like, it's not easy.
No.
But, you know, I had a laugh with that, and I knew that he was in that for such a short amount of time, which is how I was able to say it. But, like, you can't say that to Sonequa Martin Green. Like, how do you feel that your series is shitting all over everything, you know, this, 50-year-long franchise, you know, which has built up so much of a great reputation, and now you're just crapping all over it. How does it feel? No one's going to say that.
Yeah, but
no,
mate,
one's going to ask her that question.
Don't say that because
I'm racist and I'm sexist because I've asked her that question.
Yes. Yeah. That is the only reason why you've got criticism.
Why else would I say that? You know,
you're only saying that because you're a fucking white male.
I love the woman. I you know, I've sat and watched her do talks at conventions before she was ever even in Discovery.
Yeah.
I know she's good at what she does. Like, And I love seeing, you know, equal opportunities for everyone in everything. Like, so no one can ever hold that against me. And if they ever try to, I'll just say, oh, fuck off, shut up.
But despite however good Sonequa Martin-Green is, you can only polish a turd so much.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm happy to say I love her. I hate Michael Burnham. I really do. It took a little while for me to go from don't really like this character, really, really starting to not like this character, to eventually just going, I fucking hate this character. And yeah. I am there now.
And she's shoehorned into every single story. Mm-hmm. Every single story. And honestly, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. And I know, dear listeners, we broke our promise.
yeah, we've always been positive and stuff. And I hope that somehow I switch it around one day. I hope that one day, what are we on now? 2020, the year of shite. I hope that come 2025 or something, like if Discovery's on season 5, I go, do you know what? It's finally won me back around. And I'm going to go back and watch those series I shat on and see the good in it. And I don't think I will. I don't even think there'll be a season 5. I'm not even sure there'll be a season 4 at this point. I kind of don't want there to be, actually. But I hope there is, and I hope I am saying that at the same time. I want to be proven wrong, but I don't think I will be.
But I tell you what, it's like I've watched 3 episodes of Voyager today, and they're fucking great. They're brilliant. Yeah. I love it.
Everything I've watched, I've watched TNG lately, I've watched DS9, I've watched Voyager, and I've loved all of it. Yeah. Even when it's bad, it's good. Yeah, if exactly. That makes sense.
Exactly. So whilst we've got TOS, we've got TNG, we've got Voyager, we've got Deep Space Nine, we've got Enterprise, we've got the movies.
It's just, Discovery's just made me appreciate everything else even more.
Yeah.
But I already did.
And I stand by it. If this is all we've got to come, let it fucking die. Let us celebrate what we've got and not taint it with this shit.
Yeah.
Honestly, but
it's still a shame. It really is.
If you enjoy it.
It's not what I wanted to see. But yeah, if you enjoy it, good for you. Genuinely. I know people online, when it's in text speak, like think I'm being sarcastic.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm happy that they're happy, but I'm not. But you know, all that means is, you know, I don't have to watch it, which I'm really happy about it. When Wayne texts me and tells me all these bullshit storylines, I laugh, and then I just send stuff saying like hashtag freedom from shite and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to text you next time. We're going to save it for the pod.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. Like, I've enjoyed talking about it, but yeah, I think next time it might be more funny if I'm hearing it for the first time. But honestly, you could make up any old shit at this point, and I'd just believe you.
Yeah, because it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But still, if you want to vent at us for being such negative arseholes, you can do it on Twitter.
Shouldn't have been listening for the last half hour.
TrekMate1701, or just like Darren on Facebook, just check us out, TrekMate on Facebook or Twitter.
Oh, I'll just say, because I didn't say it earlier on, love Darren's TNG Christmas jumper.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? Nice. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
It holds that line beautifully of being a nice Christmas jumper without being the hideous, ugly Christmas jumper.
I've decided to buy one a year from this point, so if it's still available next year, that'll be the first on my list, I think.
Definitely. I do want to start getting them. I haven't got any Christmas jumpers. I do want to get one.
Get it as soon as it's available.
First of all, I've got to buy insulation.
Double it up as insulation.
Oh dear. So, but yeah, or email us trekmate1701@gmail.com.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's insulation from January 1st all the way until December next year.
I don't think that I'll do. Like gonna be what, and then I've got to pull back the plasterboard and, so that I can wear it.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It's good YouTube content.
I'll just leave a little hole so I can pull it back through.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Thanks for listening, everyone. I've been Wayne Emery.
I have also been Jude Hawkins, and that was a crazy late-night trek, mate.
Who else has been Jude Hawkins, then? You've also been Jude Hawkins. Who else was Jude Hawkins?
I don't know. Some scalper on eBay, maybe.
Joined the link. I sensed that the other changelings were trying to hide things from me. Faces. Names. One of them was him.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that he's one of them. Gowron, the head of the Klingon Empire, is a changeling.
We'll be headed to the court, and Starfleet knows what's for. Cause the Klingon that's in charge is simply wrong. Odo heard it in the link, and man, this could really stink. So he decided to contact them all along. Well, I changed my face for the new Starfleet mission. Party it up at the battle competition. Drink blood wine and grin all around. I pick up my emitter and play the polar on a mission, say. Then I'll revert the changeling to say. We won't. Change it has to come. A Starfleet could be done. The Dominion would take over the entire universe. On the ship they get all trained, and Sisko acts deranged. Cause they have to be convincing Klingons really soon. Well, change my face for the Starfleet mission. Party it up at the battle competition. Drink blood, wine, and grin all around. I pick up my emitter and play the polar on a mission, save. Then I'll rebirth the changeling to save.
About blood streams. If he's lasted this long, changing and impersonating Gal must have already found a way around it.
There is another option. We could kill him. We shall start with you. I am waiting. I don't understand. I am not interested in excuses. Are you a Klingon warrior or an Alvarian dung beetle?
That my crewmates aside. If we happen to be left alive, I'll gain a position and look at the guys. Exposing Garon will open their eyes. Won't it?
So now, here, in this hallowed hole, under the watchful gaze of our greatest heroes,
you will receive the highest honor that can be bestowed upon a Klingon, the Order of the Batlet!
Glory to you.
Oh. knew I recognized that face.
Well, our team, we got exposed. Yeah, we thought we were on hold. But Gowron, the second in command, was acting weird. So as Worf tried to kill Gowron, Odo knew the game was on. It was Martok, the founder, he's the one that got seared. Well, change my face for the new Starfleet mission. Party it up at the back of competition. Drink blood wine and grin all around. I pick up my emitter and play. The polar on a mission save. Then I'll revert the changeling to stay. We won't be fooled again. Same as the old Chancellor!
Klingon honor, a concept you should be very familiar with. My people, on the other hand, don't care about honor. How did you put it? There will be no honorable combat, no formal challenges. Hardly the words of a Klingon. Tell me, General, did Gowron destroy the Polaron emitters, or did you? Changeling!
You've been listening to the Trekmate Podcast. Would you like to get a hold of us? Visit trekmate.org.uk and boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this.
All right. Ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses, I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
I am Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and I approve this message. Tweet us at Trekmate1701. Make it so.